What's up? It's your girl, the lifesaver, hence the colors. I'm your girl, Little Mo, and this is the Little Mo Show.
And I'm the co-host, Skeet Carter, and it's going down. We have a special guest that's going to take over the show with us.
Yeah.
We got to introduce the guy, you know, Mr. Black Privilege. You seen him on The Breakfast Club, and he's just doing things, man. It's great things all over, man. Give it up right now for Charlamagne right now, the God.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, you from Baltimore?
No.
Because that's
some, I thought that was some Jersey shit.
No, that's B-more shit, because they be like,
Yeah. So what up, Mo? What up, Skeet? How y'all?
We good, man.
Chillin', man. We're doing things a little bit different today. Usually, we'll break it down in segments, but because I value your opinion, and you've donned me, well, crowned me something, and since then, I've wore that crown, not lightly, but heavily. Years ago, Charlamagne crowned me the Queen of Shade, and since then, I have yet to take that crown off. And one thing I say with my shade is, see, some people plan their shade, or they shade be too over the top. My shade is not planned, it's not forced.
It's organic.
Yeah.
Yeah, not GMO shade. Nice
yeah,
organic
or gluten-free shade.
Yeah, yeah,
my
yeah,
shit
yeah.
is from the heart. And honestly, there's really nothing wrong with being shady. So with that being said, just coming from, just give people a brief synopsis just in case they behind on a rock or, you know what I mean, they just hated comment section. Who is Charlamagne, a.k.a. C the God?
I am a radio personality. You know, that's my title. That's my passion. That's what I love to do. If somebody said, what do you do? What's your career? I'm going to say
Where
radio.
Where do you work at?
I work at Power 105.1 in New York, but we're nationally syndicated through iHeart Radio. So we're in like 80 markets now throughout the country. And like we're on the Armed Forces Network as well. So that's 150 countries.
Wow.
And plus I do TV, you know, I'm with Viacom right now. But I mean, I float a little bit everywhere. I've had my own shows, Uncommon Sense, Charlamagne and Friends. Got a new late night show coming in the near future. I'm executive producing a lot of stuff right now.
Man.
You know, so I got some projects the first project actually comes out next. It's not the first project I've EP'd that's aired, but it's coming out next month. I got one coming out next month with my man Noriega.
Okay.
N-O-R-E.
Mr. Drink Champ.
Yeah, we've been working on his food show for a long time.
Wait,
it's finally
food show
about
like
lunch.
Cooking?
Yeah, you know, the acronym for his name is Niggas on the Run Eating.
Oh, wow.
That is
you know,
true.
So he's really going to be a nigga on the run eating.
So what's Capone eating these days?
Capone, he be up there with Drink Champs. You know,
okay.
Capone got old money. You know, they got all them records. And gold plaques from all that old CNN stuff. And I'm an author. I'm an author now. I got my New York Times bestselling book, Black Privilege, Opportunity Comes to Those Who Create It. It was on the New York Times bestsellers list for like 7 weeks last year.
Is it safe to say all this work that you're doing on the radio and all these, is this the reason why a lot of DJ or radio personalities are losing their job? Because they don't have to listen to the radio no more. They just go, like, you know, a lot of people.
That's funny you say that, Steve, because I used to always think that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, my dream has always been to be a nationally syndicated radio personality.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I used to get mad when Tom Joyner would be in our market or Doug Banks or, you know, Steve Harvey, because I feel like they was taking jobs away from the local people there.
Yeah.
But what you realize is, especially with a show like The Breakfast Club, it creates jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Because being that The Breakfast Club was so successful for iHeart, they were able to open up other urban stations in markets that never had urban stations. Or I ain't gonna say never had, but didn't at the time. Like Miami, Houston, you know, because
Not
of the
everywhere.
Breakfast Club's success, you know, they were able to open an urban in L.A., even though my man Big Boy is on there. But but just, you know, we kind of...
How long have y'all been on air?
7 years.
Wow, that's crazy because I remember when y'all first started out, it was people were hating. I was just like, no, they're like super cool. Why would they call it that? Like, because that's a movie and you just answer for it down for. I was like, I don't know. I think
but that's an old radio name.
Right.
Like, The Breakfast Club is an old school radio name. Like, when I was doing radio in Charleston, South Carolina, my homeboy Baby J and my homegirl Tessa, they were The Breakfast Club in Charleston. So it's just like, that's an old school radio name. We actually was very unoriginal with that name. We was trying to come up with an original name, but it's hard trying to figure out a name for the mornings. We was like Illuminati in the morning. Straight up,
no,
the big three. It was called kind of
before that. Like, people don't know because we got history, and that's what I like letting people know. Like, when I got history people and when I rock with them real heavy, it's just like I love to see everybody that basically I started out with or that always like pushed me to do good things, like to see them still around because we've seen a lot of come and go.
Right up.
And remember, we had that joint we did called The Funeral, and I remember we interviewed Raz B. And Charlamagne says, because it was, he was like, what you dressing up for Halloween? And Raz B was like, I don't know why. He was like, why don't you wear a red suit? He was like, why should I wear a red suit? He was like, so you can look like your butthole. Because
after what, Chris Stokes
yes
ran oh, up wow in it.
Listen, so, with that being said, like, what is your role?
Over
like,
a million views.
We know you're a radio personality, but everyone has their role on that show. Now, what's your, like, what do you, like, your personality on that show? Like, what is that? Like,
when it first started, the consultant used to be like, okay, Charlamagne, we know your personality. You're the lovable asshole. That's you. You're an asshole, but you're lovable. I'm like, all right, but I'm not. I never label myself anything. And then plus, you know, you grow and evolve. Things
right,
change.
Right,
I'm not right the same person I was 7 years ago.
Right.
And Mo, that shit Mo talking about, that was over 10 years ago,
yeah,
right?
I was at least pregnant nine with one of them kids. My kid, no, it was about 11 years ago.
Yeah.
Because my daughter that's about to be 13, like, I remember I was making
wow
her some food, and I think I slammed the microwave, put the phone on mute, and when I say
yeah,
I cried,
yeah, because you were on the phone.
I couldn't make it to New York
yes,
because
I remember.
I had to call in. And when I say I cried so hard, you ever cry and choke and laugh and like, yo, what make him say that? But that's the shit I be wanting to say, but you're the one who says it.
Word.
And you've managed to sustain, and people be mad, but honestly, I don't see a problem with it.
Well, I've been fired from radio 4 times, too, though.
Me, too.
So it's just like, you know, you get to that point, by the time Power 105.1 hired me, they knew who they was hiring.
Right.
You know what's crazy? And Thea, actually, she was over, was she over your hiring? That's who gave me my first radio.
No, Thea came in 2 years into the Breakfast Club.
Got you.
So Thea been with us 5 years so far.
Okay. Yeah,
before Cadillac Jack and G-Spin hired us, and Thea came in 2 years.
Got you.
2 years into the Breakfast Club.
So this is the most I've ever seen you smile, like ever. Like every time.
Like people automatically think you're gonna be this mad black, but angry panther.
You don't smile.
I hate Donald Trump. Like
I do hate Donald Trump, but or not hate, but I don't fuck with him.
Oh, we'll talk yeah, all about that. Like, but you was like, this the most you've seen him smile.
Yeah, we was at a comedy show. You just like.
He probably was assessing the
matter
situation.
Matter of fact, when we took a picture together, it looked, his face make it look like, all right, nigga, hurry up and take this picture. Get this shit over with. And people say in the comments, like, yeah, he really ain't want to take that picture.
Who was performing that night?
It was the Breakfast Club Presents, me, TK.
Oh, Kirk TK, Club. Yeah, got you.
Oh,
got
man,
you.
It's hilarious, but his face, is how you do it. It could be 10 people, he'd be like.
They look like, all right, TK, you got to do the Magic Johnson point.
TK, my guy. I still ain't got paid for that show, though.
No, I didn't send that invoice. I
didn't get paid for that show.
I think it's coming down the pipe. That's what they usually
say. You got paid? Did you get paid for
that? I didn't get paid. Yet.
No, Skeet, come on, man.
Well, shoot, I might as well send an invoice. I should have been there, too.
TK, my man, but I didn't see no check for that show.
Just imagine how many outstanding invoices you really still have out there.
You absolutely right.
I'm about 100%. Like, I be letting shit slide. I'm not letting shit slide. If niggas shooting they shot, I'm going after all my old invoices.
No, you
got to
get all your coins.
But I mean, like,
the dumbest thing somebody ever told me before was, as long as people owe you, you'll never be broke. Man, if you don't shut the fuck up.
With your GoFundMe ass. That sounds like somebody with a GoFundMe. As long as somebody owe you, you'll never be broke.
I don't do GoFundMes. I tell people, go fuck yourself. Send me a GoFundMe, I'm gonna tell you go fuck yourself. Because you know why? Because people are abusing them now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like it used to be for a worthy cause. Now it's just like, yo, such and such died. We're trying to raise money for them. Like if you don't get the
somebody sent me one was like, hey sis, can you post this up? First of all, I'm not your sis because I don't know you and our daddy is not the same person.
Word up.
But it was like, I'm trying to live my dream. Can you help? And then the amount the nigga had on there was $20,000. Bruh. That ain't no dream. You trying to pay off somebody's bill. Or what is it? What's that thing when you get locked? That's a bail hearing. Like, you trying to get your bail taken care of.
And maybe because I'm old school, I ain't grew up that way. You know what I'm saying? If I had wanted some money, I had to go out there and get it.
That's right. What I'm saying, too. Yeah. And I was like, I think that's the cloth that a lot of us are cut from. But some people be forgetting that cloth. And I'm like, we ain't never beg or have our hand out for anything.
Absolutely
we literally, not. Everything I've... have is I work for that shit.
Yes.
I even tell people, and I clown myself because I got a lot of kids, and people are like, damn, bitch, every time I turn around, you got a new baby father. I said, well, bitch, stop turning around. But I was married to all of them, even though I canceled them out, it don't exist. But even with that, everything I have, like, I work for that shit.
Right.
I've never had the luxury of getting pregnant or having a child by an athlete, a rapper, and just sit home and be on Instagram all day.
So I used to cut grass.
Yeah.
Damn. I used to go walk down the dirt road and pick up old soda cans to take them to get recycled. Like,
damn.
Wash cars. Like, you going to figure out a way to make a coin or two. Yeah. Like, you know.
And, you, and you're from Charleston, South Carolina, right?
I was born in Charleston, but I was raised in Monk's Corner, which is a town.
Because I have family out there. That's what I'm like.
In Charleston? We,
yeah.
Oh, word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll figure out if we cousins or not.
What's
Greer.
I know some Greers.
So I'm pretty sure, because you know everybody out there related, and they went to the same church.
Yeah, it's all some Geechee. Like, Monk's Corner is a town, like, it's like 3 or 4 towns away from Charleston. It's a small rural area. It's only like 8,000 people.
It's not like the food good there. Anything
food
with a corner.
Banging.
When the last time you been? Because you know, you're pretty much of a big deal. So coming from South Carolina.
Uh-huh. Thanksgiving, I was home.
Okay.
Yeah, I was home for like 10 days in Thanksgiving.
Damn. So when you go back, like, you like the mayor?
I get a lot of love back home. But I mean, I do a lot for home too, though. You know what I mean? I do a turkey drive every year. I do a book bag giveaway every year. You know, somebody always need their rent paid.
I'm about to say.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I already know somebody. Somebody church building front. Hey, your great grandma's grandma went here, and we still need a roof. I'm like, well, damn.
It's all good though. I do that through by the church robes and stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. that's light stuff. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, I'm doing a fish fry down there soon though, because you know, I told them when Dylan Roof got sentenced.
That's what I was about to say.
I was gonna do a big fish fry for the city. So I was gonna do it February 3rd, but I'm pushing it back just to March. The weekend of the Black Expo. I can't remember the exact date, but if you're listening to this in 843, it'll be the weekend of the Black Expo. We're going to do the big fish fry.
So y'all really going to be frying fish?
Frying fish,
because, you know, in Philly, a fish fry is a party. They really, they have some fish there, but it's really, you know, you come out fish fry, it's like a fundraiser, a get together. But
you short on the rent, like at the house most times.
Like people have GoFundMe?
Yeah, that's
in Philly,
like
a, fish fries
really?
Are yeah. GoFundMe.
Or they sell dinners at the house. That's another thing.
Oh, nah, all the food's going to be free, the drink's going to be free.
And
we just celebrating the death sentence of Dylan Roof.
So he has been sentenced to death.
He's been
and in case people don't know who Dylan Roof is, that's
he's a
the
piece of shit, racist, crack ass cracker, white devil. That's what he is. He's a bigot. I mean, listen, it's a difference between white people and crack-ass crackers.
Just like black people and niggas.
And niggas, that's it. And if you know the old Chris Rock joke, then you understand. You know what I'm saying? So crack-ass crackers are racist bigots, white devils, and that's what Dylan Roof was. He went into the Emmanuel AME church, shot 9 people, and, you know, I'm happy that he's going to die. At Bible study. I'm happy he going to die soon. Well, not soon, because he'll be on death row forever.
I'm surprised they, he is sanity, but didn't he get caught because it was a lady that followed him? Like the whole way to like
remember.
North Carolina, but he just like went up in somebody's church while they was Bible studying and they was about to pray for him and he shot the joint up.
Shot
and I'm
9
just like,
people, because that's black people, we too welcoming.
Right.
Like if you know, if I walk into a white church dressed like this and all black with a Scully on, they're gonna be like, hey man, what you doing here? Who you here to see?
Right.
Then all of a sudden some police gonna show up for no reason, you know what I mean? In the next 2-3 minutes.
Hey, what's up, bud?
Yeah, we too welcoming. We too inviting.
Like, come on.
Is that the reason? And do you think with that welcoming, that's the reason why I think a lot of people say, well, let's get all sides of the story and you're innocent until you're proven guilty. Case in point, the H&M situation. Have you ever shopped at H&M?
No, my wife does, though.
I shopped there because they have this really good sales they used to have where you could buy like 2 things and get the 3rd thing free.
Mm.
Because I got like all these kids, and so since there's 5 of them, then I get,
They sell Zara?
No, H&M is like
H&M don't sell Zara, right?
No, no. H&M just sell H&M.
Like Zara sells Zara. Yeah, they're
the
store.
Okay,
yeah.
Cuz Zara's lit. That's right. A total different lineage. But like with H&M, it's like a lot of people say, "Oh, black people, y'all so emotional." The lady said it's not a problem because in their country or where they're actually from, calling a black person a monkey is not offensive. That's just us and American, African Americans or American black people. They're so sensitive, and that's the reason why they took offense. Like, actually, that's supposed to be empowering in other countries with the, and they've since issued an apology, but people have since tore up the place and like, nobody don't want to hear
that. They should have, you know, the mother gave an interview.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And she said that she understands racism. She's even been called a monkey before. And she said she was just upset. She was as upset as everybody is now. So if you know that, then why would you allow your son to be put into this motherfucking hoodie that says the coolest monkey in the jungle. So clearly, that lets me know that rent is high in the jungle. And I wish that she would have just came out and said, look, man, rent is high in the jungle. Yeah. These motherfucking bananas cost, and we needed these motherfucking coins. Right. Like I would have respected that more than her making up a lie like, oh, it doesn't matter if it's racist.
Everybody,
but so what?
Get over
right.
it.
Yeah. Right. Just because you're not offended don't make that situation any less racially insensitive.
Right. I've seen a lot
offended.
Of the footage of people like just like going in and tearing up the place. Do you think that's the solution? Because somebody said, or other than that, let's just steal all the shit. Because they boosters be clearing it in H&M.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, my thing is this. If somebody, if you don't want, if you're upset because somebody called a young black man a monkey, then don't go act like an animal.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's other ways that we could probably put pressure on H&M rather than run up in their stores and just tear shit up. Because now you're just putting yourself in a bad position. Like, I don't feel like two wrongs make it right. Like, there's no right way. There's no right way to do the wrong thing. Like, that shit was wrong. Like, running up in somebody's store and tearing that shit up.
And then they got
wrong.
Their face all in the camera and shit. And I'm like, then when you get arrested, what you gonna say? Boom. Oh, they called the little boy the monkey. Like, now you ain't got no bail money. Now you opening a GoFundMe.
There you go.
And we frying fish.
There you
trying
go.
Trying to get y'all out the junk.
And that's what I mean. Nobody wins. Like, what if the police run up in that store, see y'all wild, and they pull guns out or whatever, and they kill one of us.
Then we
got a
march.
Or do another fish ride to get them out of jail.
Yeah, it's just a cycle. But that is true. Black people are so inviting. And I think even as much as we are strong, we're still kind of sensitive. Case in point, a lot of things that have been coming out in the media too, with, I'll say, with y'all president. Nah, I ain't vote for his ass.
I call him the celebrity in chief, the cracker in chief. I call him Dope 45. You know, that's what I like to call him.
Cheeto, you know him as, a lot of people know him as Donald Trump, and the comments that he made, we don't have the whole statement, but he called a couple of countries, I would say African countries, and
some countries of Africa,
Haiti,
and El Salvador.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he said that they were, what, shithole
countries.
Like, all right, how does one even say that, and was that supposed to be a confidential meeting? Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, what made him think that he's allowed to say that?
I mean, the only shithole that really exists is Donald Trump's mouth. And, you know, the thing about those comments is, like, I didn't take offense to him because I just feel like he showed us who he is.
Right.
So we should just believe him at this point. So at this point, it's really just, well, how far is he going to go? Because nothing's going to happen to him.
Is it his dementia or is it really, like, how he feels?
He speaks freely.
He don't care.
But he's always been that way.
Yeah, he speaks freely.
From grabbing by the coochie jaw to the... Everything he says.
I don't mind overt racism. You know
as
what I'm saying?
As long as I know who you are.
Word is born. I grew up in South Carolina where I feel like I never experienced overt racism, which is strange because, you know, that's a red state. The Confederate flag flies over the state house lawn, but I never had a white man call me a nigga. I've never had a white man tell me, yo, I can't be here. So therefore, that lets me know I must have experienced a lot of covert racism.
Right.
Wow. So I don't mind overt racism. We can exist in a country where we know everyone is racist. I'll give you an example. Even in South Carolina, there's this place called West Columbia. Mm-hmm. We knew not to go too deep in West Columbia because it wasn't nothing but a bunch of Confederate flags and KKK and redneck motherfuckers. Like, we don't go over there. Right. So, and it can be the same thing. Like, they don't have to come where we are. We don't have to go where they are. Like, segregation was a great concept that was poorly executed. It should have been based on behavior, not race. You know what I'm saying? So if I know that your behavior is that of a racist bigot, I'm just not going to fuck with you. I'm not going to go to your stores. I'm not going to frequent your businesses. I don't have a problem with overt racism. I like to know where you stand.
A lot of people came out once he became president, people that you didn't even know.
Mask off.
Yeah, I mean, and I see it now, but I don't think that he should have been. It's just like a game to me. When he became president, I just couldn't believe it. Like, I went to sleep and thought I was going to wake up.
When you woke up?
And thought that it was like, nah, they was fucking around. But yeah, he really the president. And it doesn't seem like he benefited or we benefited.
And everybody keeps like, oh, they're going to impeach him. I'm just like, how?
I don't think that's
going
to happen.
Impeach him and then what? Then Mike Pence gets in the fucking White House?
Same
like,
thing.
Impeach it. Listen, here's the thing, right? And I feel the same way about President Barack Obama. It don't matter who's in the motherfucking White House.
Exactly.
And you know, that's I'll be the first to tell you, I got real disillusioned when Barack Obama was in the White House because I drank the Kool-Aid. I was like, oh, you know, things are going to change now. You know what I'm saying? But that was just a symbol. It made you feel good.
Right.
You know,
right.
But at the end of the day, you still got to put 2 feet on the ground and you got to go motherfucking work towards your goals, regardless of who's in the White House. Ain't nobody in the White House going to save you. That just ain't going to happen.
But what do you think? Now they're saying Oprah may run just because she gave a Golden Globe speech. I'm just like, as soon as you say something prolific, everybody thinks you're supposed to run for president. Like, What part of the game is that?
I'm not for that. And I love Oprah. I always say my last name is Pinkett Smith Winfrey Knowles Carter. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not for Oprah. I don't want any more celebrity in chiefs in the White House. Right. Like, we've made that mistake already. Yeah. And is Oprah way smarter than Donald Trump? Absolutely. Is she more of a good human being? Absolutely. But that's the thing, too. Do you really want to put somebody who morally and spiritually has always been at a high level in the White House? She got to get dirty if she's the president of the United States of America.
And you know they be digging. Come on. They going
to
dig.
That's why you'll turn people that love her. Some people have to hate her. She's not hating right now. People love Oprah.
Can you imagine Oprah having to kill people?
Right.
Yeah.
Imagine Oprah having to press the button to send our military to war.
Right.
You get a drone strike. I don't want to put Oprah in that position. For what?
Everybody look under your seats. It's my new book. Like, I can see her now. She can't do that. You can't do both.
I want politicians to be politicians. I want entertainers to be entertainers. And plus, man, why be president when you can be Oprah?
Right.
Oprah got more influence than any motherfucking president. Barack Obama is in the White House because of Oprah Winfrey. Let's not forget that. Yes, Oprah held her own rallies in these swing states for Barack Obama and said, hey, white America, all you middle class white women and middle America white women, this is the magical Negro that you need to vote for.
How does she get people to believe her? That's also, I'm like, how did everybody start believing in Oprah? What did she actually do that made people be like, yo, she that one? Because have you seen the movies and stuff she's in? Like, she's so dope. But I'm just like, what it is about her? From Greenleaf to Color Purple to, like, everything that she's a part of. I'm just like, yo, Oprah's so dope. But what is it about her that we just like, when Oprah speaks, we listen, we shut the fuck up, and we follow suit?
I really don't know, because I didn't, like, watch a lot of Oprah's show. Like, Oprah's show was like background when I was growing up. Like, you know how you come home, you know your mama gonna watch Days of Our Lives.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
She gonna watch General Hospital.
Yep.
And Oprah eventually gonna be on in the afternoon. But I wasn't like in tune with it like that. So I really don't know. But I think now, I think what she's doing is so dope, because I listen to her Super Soul podcast all the time.
Gotcha.
And everything is about the spirit. Everything is about God. Everything is about, you know, what do you think the meaning of life is? And I think that she's just on this conscience. She's reminding everybody that we're spiritual beings living a human existence. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's what's attracting me to her right now.
I think a lot of people, too, used to backlash Oprah. I know people say, well, I don't know how people listen to talking about she don't believe in God, and she believes, people always trying to pull a rabbit out the hat or pull something out their ass and make up shit. I'm like, when did she ever say that? People always try to, you could do all of this good, give people cars, save people lives, lose weight in front of the world, and they'll always try to find something. So I'm just like, I don't even think that she wants to even put herself in a line of fire anymore. Like,
that's interesting.
As much as she wants to, I think she would be great with governing the people. Who want to deal with all this shit?
Yeah, but it, like, what you just described just now is just like jealousy and envy and hate. Because when you see somebody, especially as a black person, that has reached the levels that Oprah's reached, we refuse to believe that they got there through hard work, dedication, and a belief in
especially
God.
Especially looking as she looks, because, you know, she wasn't the typical cookie cutter host. Remember when she started out in Baltimore, her hair didn't look like everybody else's. Her skin was darker than what the normal was.
She wasn't cookie cutter. She looked like she ate mad cookies.
That's what
she
said, she ate mad cookies.
Yeah.
But that's the truth. So she broke down every stereotype in every door. So just to see her where she is today, you know, we're not expected to last but a certain amount of time anyway.
And she's looking better as she get older.
Yes.
You saw the new ponytail with the color?
I
didn't know that was real. I was like, there they go, Charles Clam.
No, she had a ponytail.
You know, they'll try to niggify you in a minute.
She and had I was 32 just like, inches too.
For real?
Yes.
If Oprah come out, start selling hair, then it's about to be some shit.
And we gonna buy it.
Hello?
Because Oprah got that money to take a big plane to the distributor. She'll be in India and China for real, getting that good shit.
Yes.
That
and
real
we believe
shit.
Her.
Yeah.
You also know for giving people the donkey of the day.
Yes, sir.
Anybody ever really got offended and like try to pull up? Why? It's just entertainment.
Hell yeah.
Why you speak? You say some things.
But why can other people say it, but when you do it, people really get in their bag?
Well, here's the thing.
And they know it be the truth.
But I mean, I can't say it's the truth. It's my opinion, but I will say that
it be the truth.
I accepted a long time ago that I can't say what I want to say and then tell people how to react. Right. And that's what these motherfuckers online don't understand yet. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of people who talk really reckless online and they think they can say whatever they want to say.
Yeah.
Somebody gonna pull up on you eventually. Yeah. I guarantee it. Like, yeah. I'm watching a whole generation of like kids think they're doing what they thought I was doing or what they saw like a little Mo doing. Like, they want to be. No, somebody gonna pull up on you. And yeah. when they pull up on you, don't start acting like the victim because you know what the fuck you said.
Yeah.
Now, the difference between me and a lot of other people, I know what I said. Yeah. So when you approach me about it, we just gonna have the conversation right then and there. And that's what has happened every single time. You know what I mean? Whether it started off heated and then it came down because somebody got in between us, we still gonna have that conversation. I'm gonna still tell you the same thing I told you.
Do you think people give you too much power to piss them off?
Yes.
Do you think that, because I don't ever feel from you that you have any malicious intent, but I've seen interviews, like I've seen you with, what's the guy from Onyx? Like, when he got super upset, or even with the interview with Baby, would get to say, all three of y'all, if we finishes, we done, like, you get under people's skin, but I'm just like, if it was everybody say a hit dog will holler, is it, like, what is it? What power is
it? It's funny, like, even with Birdman, Birdman was upset because I historically would say, why would anybody sign to Birdman when he doesn't pay anybody?
Okay.
Like, you see it all the time. Like, now you owe Wayne money. Like, today, I think they said he was forced to give over the keys to his mansion in Miami because he couldn't pay the $12 million or whatever.
What?
So it's just like, maybe you're right, the truth does hurt in that situation, but so what?
Some people they prepare, like I saw the interview with Kanye West, like that was like so funny to me.
What happened, just in case nobody didn't see it?
Well, it just was the numbers that he just was ready, like people were intimidated to sit next to this guy.
But I'll tell you
and
too,
answer questions because he'd tell the truth.
But he didn't just
album.
But
I didn't like it, was trash.
Yeah,
it's not the album that you know. Like, he didn't straight tell it, and then you know people would smile it off and try to look the other way.
And they get that love.
Y'all, he just be able to, still was trash. Though. I mean, you don't have to look at me. Like, he does it straight face. He don't care. But people, that's his personality, and that's what people want to see. But you know, some artists are scared or intimidated to, you know, sit next to you and answer those questions.
But I always tell artists, don't do no dumb shit, and nobody don't have to bring it to the attention.
And if you're honest and if you're truthful, like, you have no problems. It's not like I'm like I said, I'm not being malicious. I'm not attacking you. Like, we just got a conversation. I'm the same, especially now in this era. We live in this age of transparency where everybody reads things about themselves.
Right.
Like, they open up their social media every day. Somebody got an opinion. Yeah. They reading comments on YouTube. Somebody got an opinion. So I'm just that person with an opinion that you get to sit face to face with and have the conversation with. So I think sometimes they take out their frustrations with everybody else on me. Like, they want to make an example.
You did make somebody cry on the show before.
I didn't do that.
Who? What happened?
You talk about Lil Mama.
Remember that?
I didn't do that, though.
That wasn't the memes.
I mean, the way it was.
I love that meme, though.
The way it was positioned, it looked like I made her cry. But actually, if you watch the interview, Angela Yee brought up her mother dying, God bless the dead.
Okay.
And then that's when the tears.
That's when the tears. Okay.
Yeah.
People were scared, man. I said, I'm going there one day, but I was like, I don't know if I'm ready. He's going to pull up something that I don't even know about.
Yeah, but there are a lot of people that, like, that intimidation factor. And I'm just like, hey, if you did this shit, own up to it. And I'm just like, one thing I know for sure, even when you were working with Wendy, I remember they used to call themselves prepping me. Now, when you go there, I'm just like, what I'm scared of, because they're going to ask a question. Either I own up to it, I answer it, or I just be like, yeah, you can say in court, I don't recall. You just keep it moving. A lot of people, they don't have those type of interviewing skills anyway, but you literally get in people's ass. Pause. Yeah. Even to the, was there any other beefs that you had? Wasn't there something like between you and Ross? Or what was that all about?
No, me and Ross good.
Y'all cool?
It was me and Mace.
Mace?
Me and Busta Rhymes.
Busta?
Yeah, I mean, but you know, they from a different cloth, so
yeah,
they from that 90s era where motherfuckers was getting shot and killed, and you really had to fight. So even now in their 40s, they still gonna run down on you if they didn't like something that you said.
Right.
That's what happened with Busta. He ran down on me because it was a freestyle he put out over the oldest instrumental, and I was like, this shit is trash. Like, whatever.
This is what he say to your face. That's what I like him. He said, he's not going to say nothing. And I said,
and it's not a Freudian slip. That shit is real. He'll just be like, and it's no malice or no type of evil intent. But honestly, this will be like, yo, like, he has a point there.
Me and Busta good now, though. I had a revelation recently, though, when it came to, like, the older artists.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, these kids don't know them, right?
Mm. Right.
So if I say I didn't like LL Cool J's new record, that shit is whack. If I say I didn't like Busta's new record, that's whack. Those kids hear it as LL Cool J's whack, Busta Rhymes is whack. So then they get real disrespectful with the legends and the elders, but I feel like I have the right to say that only because I understand their catalog. I'm not these. First of all, LL is one of the greatest of all time. Busta is one of the greatest of all time. So you can't never take away their legacy. So if I didn't like something in this moment,
right.
That don't give you little young motherfuckers the right to be like, yeah, them niggas is whack. Lil Uzi better. I'm like, no. I ain't gonna say that. My revelation is like, we just gotta be a little bit different when it comes to the conversations about our OGs and our elders, because these kids really don't know.
But they don't care.
They don't care. We can make them care, though. A little. I mean, we can make them care.
My kids be like, my kids have told me, they was like, I said, who you like better? They like Lil Uzi better than Lil Wayne. I said, but do you know, had it not been for a Lil Wayne, there'd be no Lil Uzi. And my daughter said, so what does Lil Wayne sing? He just has 6'7". I'm like, are you kidding me? I had to call Fab and be like, yo, he was like, you know what? And just like what you said, this generation doesn't know them. So they know who they know, because when we were coming up, I liked the Daz effects and the Tupacs and stuff like that. But my parents be like, no, this ain't no real music. So it's just it's just that cycle of
absolutely
what we like, they may not like. There are some of us that just remain, and we still can translate with the younger audience. But there are some who just, and I feel bad for a lot of the older audience, because then they'll try to do some young shit, and then people really will write them off.
But I just feel like if we don't celebrate our culture, nobody will. Like, we gotta preserve. We gotta preserve hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, we gotta treat our eldest statesmen like royalty.
What do you think the state of hip hop is? Because I saw, again, a lot of people gave you backlash and heat, because I believe you and Joe Buttons were discussing, you know, classic albums, and people, you know, Cardi B is winning right now, and a lot of people mad at that. And you made a comment. I don't think y'all were trying to attack Nicki, but people like, oh, well, fuck you, this and that, like just going off. But a lot of artists, and not pointing fingers, but a lot of these artists think that they can do anything and think it's acceptable because it's them, and then think they can talk down to the newer generation and think like, well, no, follow my footsteps. But a lot of them footprints done changed. Like, these kids love that. They love that shit. A cough and sneeze record. But me, I want to do harmonies and stack vocals. Nobody don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, how do you deal with that? Because a lot of artists get offended. Oh, I'm not coming to do y'all show. I'm just like, why not?
I don't give a shit. I like Nicki. I've always liked Nicki. I've been on one of Nicki albums. I used to call myself C the Bob, just fucking around. You know what I mean? Just like, cause I still enjoy her like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like she was dope this year.
Right.
Do you think it was since her and Meek broke up, or since she's
since her and Safari broke up?
Since her and Safari, that's what I feel.
Yeah, I mean, but then again, Nicki hasn't had an album out in like 3 years. Mm. Yeah, the last time she put
just features.
The last album she put out was the joint that had the Beyonce record, Feeling Myself, and all that shit. Like, that was on there. But it's just like, she's just been okay. Like, you know, nothing incredible, nothing amazing, which is cool too. You know what I mean? You can be consistent. Like, she's been consistent, I guess, this year. But I just didn't like a lot of the stuff she did this year. And I what's wrong with saying that? Right. The name of the show that me and Joe did was Dope Trash Year.
Yeah.
So who had a trash year? I was like, I feel like Nicki had a trash year. You know, especially at the beginning of the year when Remy, well, beginning of 2017. Oh, my God. Remy got in that ass. And I would not let nothing distract me from the fact that Remy Ma bodied Nicki Minaj over the Aoife instrumental. Right. Like, nothing. And she didn't, her response was garbage. That set the tone for Nicki's year. Wow. Last year, by the way. All she had to do was respond in a hip-hop way.
Who could have helped her with a dope response, though?
You farted?
No, that's my shoe.
Oh.
Oh, but I will fart, but I didn't just now. But no, like, who could have helped her with a dope response?
Like, I mean, Nas.
Really? That's right. He wrote Aether.
Nas. Somebody.
So people aren't using their chessmen, right?
Hey, that's all I'm saying. Like, Nicki could have set the tone in a total different way if she'd have just responded to that record the right way. Instead, she put out some.
It was
Instagram.
Like bits and pieces.
Yeah, she was like, we don't make diss records. We make hit records and dish you on them.
There was the one me and Drizzy laughed at that.
And that record didn't even go. She put out that record with Drake and Lil Wayne. Mm-hmm. It had the iHeartRadio stimulus package, meaning that we play it every hour on the hour for 24 hours straight, had it in rotation. That record didn't pop off. Right. And then she put out three records. Remember, she put out that, No Fraud, and she put out another record with Wayne, another record, and they didn't pop. That's not hate. That's just an accurate observation. Like, them shit didn't go, Nicki. I think you might you need to get back to the drawing board.
With that one.
You fucked this one all up.
She talk about the same to me. Like it seemed like the pink. What's the car? The pink.
Pink print?
No, the car that they got.
Bugatti?
The pink, whatever the Bugatti is, mm-hmm. My pussy stay wet, and all these bitches is my sons. I swear. That's
she does put she does put these bitches and my sons in every ball. Every
verse. Everything is by my sons, and the pink car, Lamborghini,
yeah.
And it's just the same thing. So
Female rap is popping right now, though.
It's I love lit.
Cardi. Oh, my
who
God.
Who you think got next? Because Cardi is out of here. Right
now. Okay, well, I love Cardi, of course, but I love Rhapsody. I think Rhapsody is one of the most phenomenal MCs, period. Forget gender. I think she'll wash 95% of these dudes out here. She's from North Carolina. She dope. She's nominated for Rap Album of the Year at the Grammys.
Wow, that's dope.
And she got a song nominated for something, Song of the Year, something at the Grammys. But I like Tink from Chicago.
Tink
yeah. Is that Timbaland's artist?
Yeah.
I don't know if her and Timbaland still together or not. I know she just put out a single like a couple days ago.
Ever since he talked about them pills and Percocets. Like it just seemed like I'm like damn ain't nobody everybody done popped the perk like I didn't know.
I think Tim Myth bleaked Tink without realizing it.
Really?
Wait.
Yeah, because I always say Myth Bleak, right? Myth Bleak is like Jay-Z. Remember when Jay-Z was saying Myth Bleak is the new improved me?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
And he was like, in the will. And
yeah, he was like, yo, that's the new improved me.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? And I was like, wow. Mm. And Myth was good. But I mean, Jay is God. Right. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like we was always.
So he just cut Beans and everybody out and said.
But this is before Beans was even in the picture. He was saying this about Bleak. Yeah. Damn. So we was just all waiting for Myth to be that. Uh-huh. He didn't let Myth just be Myth. You know what I'm saying? If he'd just be like, yo, this is my guy, Myth Bleak, he's dope. We grew up in the same project, whatever. We'd have just respected Myth. Uh-huh. And I think Timbaland kind of did that with Tink. You know what I mean? By comparing her to Lauryn Hill, comparing her to Aaliyah.
Tink is a beast, though.
She's a beast. She's a beast. Phenomenal. I understand exactly
but
why Tim said
putting,
that.
When you start putting that pressure, and people are like, nah, nah, nah.
No, expectation.
You right.
When you put expectations in people's head, because you got to understand, Aaliyah, Lauryn Hill, it wasn't just music. They gave us a feeling.
Mm-hmm. Aaliyah made you feel a way.
Come
and I toured with her, and her presence, how humble she was. And I used to be like, why are you walking around by yourself? She's like, oh, I'm all right.
Yeah.
And then I realized them Hankersons, she was all right.
Yeah.
Like Jomo and Barry, they ain't play about their niece.
Yeah.
So I always knew baby girl was all right. But I was just like how she transcended, how she had Jet Li, but she could hang with DMX.
Yeah.
And how she could go on tour with, it'd be me, her, Missy, Playa, all of them. But then she could still go to the MTV Awards, which was basically the biggest awards back then.
Yeah.
And come out in she went from the tomboy with a piece of the stomach hanging out. I remember the Tommy Hilfiger, but then come out in the dress and they like, yo, sure. She was a tomboy, now she's a queen. Like,
right.
She broke down like so many barriers. And so,
this is what you just described. She gave you a feeling. You got an emotional attachment to her.
You're right.
That's why you can't put that on these new artists.
You're right.
We don't got no emotional attachment to them. Like if you and we're waiting for a Tink to make us feel like that. That takes time.
Right.
It do.
You know what I mean? Like I remember being in the house listening to my mom play Lauryn Hill X Factor over and over. And in my mind, I'm thinking, damn, my mom cool, but really she was hurting because her and my father was going through a divorce.
Right.
So, but that's a feeling like. Like that, you feel that. Like these, when you compare new artists to the people that came before them, you're not doing them any favors because these people that you're comparing them to have given us life. Like we got emotion. We're emotionally attached to these motherfuckers.
Right.
We just waiting to feel like that, and them new artists can never make us feel like that.
Because you damn near have to pop a Molly or pop a perk to even have some type of feeling. Because I love some of the songs. My son was like, Mom, what? What do you mean? The boy that sings Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang.
He's one of them littles. I don't remember which one.
But he has the same color hair as the other boy. And I remember when I used to wear color hair, they was like, nope, that's not going to translate well with the fans. Now everybody got all these color hairs, and him and the other boy that sing, the 6ix9ine boy that went from a church boy, just now he got guns and everything. Like they're being so drastic and dramatic. My kids show me and I'm like, that's what y'all love? Okay, well, and it scares me because I'm like, these niggas look crazy, but that's who they're looking up to, and I don't know what the fuck they be talking about.
But my father felt the same way about Wu-Tang.
Right.
And if you go back and watch them old videos, when Meth had the white eye and one eye and his hair all wild, they look crazy too.
I got a confession too, and I really didn't realize. Remember, Ice Cream, ever watch these bad niggas? I wanted to be a thot back then because I was like, ooh, I wanted to hang with the girl with the lazy eye, and I used to wear the
you
sneakers.
Be a skank.
I wanted. I was like, man, I think that means I'm gonna be cool and I get to hang around rappers. But I didn't want to have sex with them. But I just wanted to be like bow legged. Everybody was fake bow legged then. Right. Everybody had the 5411. Yeah. So it's like, yo, I just felt like that would make me fit in. But it's crazy how I said, okay, I'm gonna do this, and I wrote out my plan, and then I became Little Mo. What was your plan?
My plan, I used to want to be on Bad Boy. I remember being in jail, and I had this notebook, and I was like, it was 96, so I was writing down 90. I put down 1997 Bad Boy roster, and I put myself on the roster of Bad Boy in 97. I used to want to rap. I'm from the country. I'm from the hood. Like, every black person in the hood, black man, probably wanted to be in entertainment or be in athletics, right? Because the people that we see who are successful that look like us are in those fields. I used to want to rap. So that was my thing. I used to want to rap until, you know, about 1998 when I got an internship at the radio station.
Gotcha.
And I was trying to do both because I was like, yo, this got this dude Ludacris from Atlanta. Mm-hmm. He raps and, you know, he came from radio. I can do that same path.
Chris Lover.
Yep. And then one of my mentors, Dr. Robert Evans, he was like, nah, you suck as a rapper.
Oh.
You suck. You know, you need to stick to
it. So that was like your moment of clarity.
Yeah. And it was cool because I never felt comfortable in that booth anyway. You know, you go in that booth, man, you got them headphones on, you trying to be on beat, and you sweating, and you know what I'm saying? This shit don't sound like it sounded when I wrote it, and when I was in the other room spitting it. Like, I got to get all drunk and high to try to even get a vibe to get inside the beat. That shit don't work. But radio was just natural.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, Professor was like, yo, you're really good at radio, and you could be great if you just put your work in and focus on that. And he was like, if you want to fuck with the music, do some A&R or something. Be behind the scenes. Because you got a good ear for beats. You got a good ear for talent. Do that.
You do have a good ear for music because I love when you like give your take. Be like, yo, this is a good album. This is a good song. Because you, 9 chances out of 10, you're usually right about it. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, yeah. Do you consult for other artists or no?
Nah. I mean, I never have. I mean, when I used to do A&R for Never So Deep Records, like, it was local artists that we had in Charleston that I would help. But now, because, man, I feel like that's when you stop giving your real opinion about music. All these motherfuckers got affiliations. They got labels cutting them checks for this. Labels cutting
checks for that. Atlantic sign, we out here.
Yeah.
You delivering a sandwich, my nigga.
Yeah.
Do you look at your life as, like, a success story? Do you think it's... How would you, you know?
Yeah, but not because of my career, though. You know, I look at my life as a success story because of my wife.
Right. I'm about to say, people don't know, you have a whole family.
Whole family, not a half of one, not a quarter of one.
A real family.
Yeah, so it's just like, I'm happy being a father and being a husband. Like, that's the most fulfilling thing to me nowadays. I like being a nurturer, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I like protecting and providing my family. Like, I like raising my daughters. I want me a son, you know, so I can pass the legacy on. But that's the most fulfilling thing to me. Like, that's what makes me feel successful. Like, even we went on a family vacation this year. We was in Grenada. Salute to my homie Amanda Seals. That's where her people from. I always see her on Instagram going there. Yeah. So I'm gonna go there for New Year.
Right.
And like, I have my mom with me and my daughters and niece and, like, you know, my got friends. Like, it's a bunch of us, like 15 of us in the house. And I've done that a few times. That feels good.
Yeah.
Like, that feels great, actually.
Do you put that on social media?
Nah, not really.
Why do you keep your family separate? You know, and then, like, your real life and your job, like, you literally keep it separate.
Because I know it pisses me off. So I'm not going to put my kids up there in my wife and have motherfuckers talking shit about them, and that shit just gonna make me mad. Like, so it's like licking a battery. You know what that shit tastes like? You know it's gonna burn your tongue. Yeah.
That don't make me mad too. You ever lick a non-volt battery? You gotta test it to make sure it still works.
I don't even want them involved in that way. Plus, really, my wife don't like that shit.
Okay.
Really?
Like, she ain't on that shit. She don't fuck with Facebook. She got an Instagram, but she don't.
Do she ever be like watching your show or stuff like that and be like, babe, you shouldn't have said that?
Oh, yeah.
Or do she be like, yo, get up?
Nah, all the time. She be on my ass. Especially when I was like a real savage and I was asking girls to suck farts out their butt. And like, you know what I'm saying? Like she was, hell yeah. Like, I mean, that's part of evolution. That's part of growth. Like, I was really on some Howard Stern shit. Like, yo, relax.
That's what I'm about to say. I used to love Howard Stern. That's what I'm like. That's like... The way he didn't care, he said, but he had the female co-star.
Robin.
She would be like, oh, Howard, you shouldn't have said that.
You remember the movie Private Parts?
Yes.
And I think it was his first wife who was on him about how he used to talk to women and stuff like that. So I remember arguing with my wife about that type of shit, and I'm like, yo, you bugging. This is what we
this
do.
This come with the territory.
But then you get old, then you start watching that shit, and you like, yeah, I was wilding. Let me simmer the fuck down.
That kind of set the tone for you, though. I think it was something that, you know, it was something that people did like to see, or, you know, it was people look forward to seeing stuff like that, or hearing, what are you going to say?
But then that's cheap, too, though. Yeah. Right. It's like, I ain't going to be that 40-year-old motherfucker still talking to girl. I mean, talking fart out your butt, little girl. Because after a while, you look like the old man
like
in the club.
Like that man.
Right, creepy as fuck.
Right. Like that man. I don't understand how he got coochie.
Who?
Harvey Weinstein.
Oh,
I don't understand it. He looks like a slut to me.
He just
looks creepy and just perverted and just like his hands smell like balls. I just don't. He just has that look.
He got pussy because of his position. That's all. Yeah, he had a position of power in Hollywood, and he was abusing that position to get pussy.
Which is what a lot of them do. With all these allegations coming out, first it was Bill Cosby wasn't the first one, but he was the first one that really, like, niggas was like, yo, like, crazy. Mm. But I was sitting back, I said, ooh, once they start pulling back that Band-Aid, maybe all that infection gonna come out. So just to see, like, I just saw something the other day. They was like, oh, damn, somebody, Steven Seagal. Like, they got everybody on this alleged sexual harassment. And
I've been to about Steven, though. My homegirl told me about Steven way before this shit was popular.
His jeans is too tight. His shit's like
Claudia Jordan. You Claudia?
Yeah. Wait, what she? I saw something that said she invited to the house.
Steven tried to rape her. Yeah. She'll tell you that story in a heartbeat. And she told me, she actually said it on my podcast, The Burinitas, like 5 years ago. Four or five. Well, I don't remember how. Maybe three. Four. However long we've been doing the podcast, but this shit was years ago. So I've been heard this shit way before this shit was the trending topic.
But the crazy thing is, there's a lot of people who say, oh, this person tried to holler at me. This person tried. Now, did they try or? All right, I'll tell you some things that happened to me. I won't say their names, but they'd be like, hey, come to my room. Mm-hmm. I want us to listen to music. Then I pull up, and it'd be three other niggas with me, and they didn't expect that. I'd be like, I'm not going nowhere by myself. I'm not the fuck stupid. Mm-hmm. So half of these females, do you think they invited some of this unwanted sexual advances? But you know if he got you coming to the house, ain't nobody there, turn your nut ass around and take your black ass home.
I think it's both.
Okay.
Because men shouldn't be creepy sexual deviants.
Yeah.
And women do have to realize, okay, let me not put myself in this position. You know what I mean? If a guy says, yo, let's have a table read, and you get to he's like, it's at my house. What time? At midnight. Midnight. And I understand you feel like you got to do what you got to do for your career, but it's like, come on, man. So these motherfuckers is creeps.
What about the Matt Lauer situation where allegedly he had a button in his office that when females came in there, he locked that bitch?
That's crazy.
Like,
that's kidnapping.
Who did he speak? What engineer? Hey, I want this button put in my room. So when they come in here, just what kind of creep ass shit is that?
That's
like,
crazy.
And he was making millions.
Like what, 20 something million a year, something like
that? I think
that?
More than that, because I know they said Hoda is making 17 million less than him, and she's at 24 million.
Wow.
Plus, that's just off the rip.
I'm not mad at none of the purge that's happening right now, though, you know, because I feel like it's going to make the world a better place for women. At the end of the day, I do feel like it needs to be a little bit more due process, though.
Right, before it can get out. Like, you can't just say it, make a claim.
Yeah, like, people are getting ruined in the court of public opinion. Like, this shit that just happened with Aziz Ansari.
Yeah, so.
What happened with that, just in case anybody didn't?
I really don't. Like, the woman just described, she basically described an experience of a man trying to get some pussy, and she wasn't really, she was all in, but wasn't in. It honestly sounded like his head was whacked. Because the way it starts off is like he was eating her out. So he probably was giving her some trash ass head, and she just was, she was out of it by then, you know what I mean? And she told him, like, I'm not into it. And he was like, well, it ain't no fun if both of us not into it. So they both put on their clothes and they watched fucking Seinfeld or some shit like
that. Right.
What about the Russell Simmons thing? I listened to Uncle Murder's 2017 wrap up, and he was just like, Russ, was you doing that yoga because your conscience is guilty?
Yeah, Russ is a tough one for me.
That one was kind of.
Because I fuck with Russ, you know what I mean? That's Russell.
He's hip-hop.
He's an icon. Word up. And you know, not saying that our icons can't be pieces of shit, but if you've ever met Russell, that seems nothing like him. But people grow, people evolve. So that one is like, that's a difficult one.
But then
one
a lot of times they say people behind closed doors, they be on some wild shit. There's a lot of people I be like, yo, you think she an angel? That bitch a whole ultra whore out here.
There's
a lot of people that you would know, like, be sucking farts out of people's butts.
Yeah.
Lined up.
And I got a homegirl, like Amanda Seale. She put Russell on blast. He said that she was in a meeting with Russell, and Russell basically looked at her and was like, yo, have me and you ever fucked before? Now, that's some fucked up shit to say. That's very inappropriate.
Beyond.
But that ain't rape. You understand what I'm saying? So, right. like I don't know what's what. You know, you got this right. one woman over here saying that Russell straight up raped her, like old school rape, like held like, her down, ripped her shit off. Like
blood is everywhere.
Yeah, like, and then you got Amanda saying what he said. So it's just like, damn, Unc. You know, and I really don't know what to do in situations like this, because I don't want to discredit the accuser. I don't want to discredit the accused either. But there's no due process. We don't know who's telling the truth.
Right.
You know,
right.
We don't.
Man, with that being said, we got to take a quick break. We're going to talk more with Charlamagne.
Yeah.
This black privilege and all the things that he's got coming up more on the Little Mo Show. I'm Little Mo.
I'm Skeet Carter.
Man, we lit.
It's your boy Skeet Carter, the co-host of the Little Mo Show podcast, encouraging everybody to pick up a copy of the tell-all book, Tame a Little Mo, right now. It's available on Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the Little Mo Show. I'm your host, Little Mo.
And I'm your co-host, Skeet Carter. And
did you just spit?
I did not. Why you always got
to? I saw something.
Why you spit on your co-host, Skeet?
Yeah, and whose hair is this?
That's yours.
No, it's not. I got braids.
You had this last week. Now you got long hair.
You're drunk.
It wasn't like that.
You're drunk.
Listen, this your boy, Skeet Carter. We are back on the couch with the great Charlamagne the God. And we gotta touch bases on your author now. You said you're an author.
Yes, sir. New York Times bestselling author.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and that's a nice title, New York Times bestseller. This ain't just no you can meet us at the thing and like New York Times bestseller.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
I don't know, man.
That's like selling the album. Like you was.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the equivalent of double platinum in the book world right now.
Oh, so
like,
it's
lit. Like based off all the sales that I did last year, and I debuted at number 6 and then it stayed on the New York Times bestsellers list for like 7-8 weeks, and
damn,
that was interesting to me because I've always understood the transformative power of books. So I always say I'm not an expert at nothing, you know, I'm just telling my story and I got experiences that I want to share, and if somebody learns from them, cool. And I guess people really just were soaking up that information, and I think, you know, word of mouth helped a whole lot, you know, just people like basically saying, yo, this is a dope book. And that's just anything when it comes to art, because like a book is art, you know what I mean? Like a book is like music, a book is like sneakers, a movie, clothes. If somebody says it's dope, people gonna go out there and fuck with it, and that's just what's been happening. So, you know, thank you to everybody that went and got it.
What is the black privilege? What is that basically about?
It's a play on words, you know what I mean? It's a play on the whole term white privilege, but I mean, I just feel like it's a privilege to be black. Like, I don't feel like my black skin is a burden. I don't feel like it's a liability. I feel like it's power in this melanin, you know what I mean? I think being black is dope. And you know, I grew up black, you know, with my father riding around listening to James Brown say a lot, I'm black and I'm proud, and you know, the whole black power, black pride movement. So it's just like, yo, let's bring that back. That's why I like when I see Diddy say black excellence, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I like just everybody embracing their blackness. I was watching the NAACP Image Awards the other night, and that shit was dope.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I like when Issa Rae is out there like, yo, I'm rooting for everybody black. That's what my jacket says, rooting for everybody black. Like,
is that your company?
No, this is my man Noodles. He a fat motherfucker from Harlem who occasionally gets something right. I think the company is called the Carter Brand.
That's dope.
Yeah, and he made this jacket, and he better give Issa a cut. And he got another jacket that got like Lauryn Hill on it, the Miseducation album. But but it's just like, yeah, I mean, I just feel like, yo, we gotta embrace being black again. Like, we live in this era where all these racists and all these bigots, they turned up on their racism. So let's turn up on what they hate. Turn up on our motherfucking blackness. If they walking around saying blacks will not replace us, Jews will not replace us, gays will not replace us, yo, turn up whatever you are. If you black, be more black. If you gay, be more gay. If you Jewish, be more Jewish. You know what I mean? Like turn up on everything they hate.
How do you feel that, like, how do you get the pass?
I'll be fine. You know what I mean? I got podcasts and books and, you know, TV shows that I'm producing. And we live in a different era. Like, I've never been less afraid to be terminated ever in my life, because that's why I have so many other self-employed ventures. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, that's one thing Damon Dash said when he came on the Breakfast Club years ago. Like,
yeah,
we got to own something. You got to be your own boss. So I put myself in a position where I have other platforms. You know, I love what I do, and I love the radio. But if you fire me because I call a racist, bigot, a crack ass cracker, or a white devil, I don't want to work for you anyway. Because I'm just calling it for what it is.
Yeah,
in fact, what you need to do as a good white person is Stand By Me and call that racist bigot a crack ass cracker as well. You know what I mean? Like we, you should be trying to draw a line in the sand yourself. That's what Eminem said when he did that whack ass BET freestyle. Like he was like, look, I'm drawing a line in the sand. That's one part I did like about that freestyle. He's like, I'm drawing a line in the sand right now. Yeah, if you fuck with him, you can't fuck with me. If you fuck with Trump, you can't fuck with me. And that's real.
Yeah, when I saw that, it just felt like something, like Eminem's so dope.
I don't like woke Eminem. I don't like Thurgood Marshall Mathers. You know what I'm saying? I ain't with that shit. Now, don't get me wrong. I love when white people use their privilege to combat prejudice, but it got to be dope. Like, he got one song on his album with Alicia Keys that's actually dope. Everything mm-hmm. that he's been trying to address, he really addressed in that record, and it sounded really, really good. But I didn't like the BET freestyle.
So you like the one where he, I hate my mother, I'm going to set the car on fire?
I don't care for that one either. Like, I've never been a huge Eminem fan, but really? But I recognize his dopeness.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think people act like, people hear me say that and they don't get the nuance in what I'm saying. Eminem is phenomenal as a rapper. I always say if Eminem was black, he'd be Redman, and I think Redman is out of here. You know what I mean? But yeah. I can't relate to wanting to kill my mom. I love my mama.
Yeah.
I never like, wanted to kill my baby. My baby mama's my wife. I never wanted to kill my baby mama. Right. My baby mama turned to be my wife. Like I love her. Like I ain't tripping. Like Eminem was just on some shit that I couldn't get into. I loved his verse on Dead Wrong with Biggie Smalls. But I wasn't into none of that shit. I'm a young black man raised Jehovah's Witness in South Carolina. This motherfucker said it's several different levels of devil worship and horses' heads, human sacrifices, cannibalisms, candles, and exorcisms. Whoa.
But that's some white shit. Think of that. Yeah.
And it sounded amazing.
Yeah.
But I can't get into that.
The book, is that the one, or is it going to be like a sequel?
I've already did my second book deal.
Okay. Hey. Good. He on it. Mm-hmm. I figured that you got to do another when the numbers is good. And you talking, you got good substance. So
I didn't want to rush it though. That's you know, because they was coming at me like, yo.
Because they think you got a. This the instant gratification era where you do it. All right, now we need another song. I just put this out yesterday.
And listen, you know, the money they offer for a second book when you have success with the first one is phenomenal. But I don't do things for the money.
Right.
But I was sitting in I was actually in Anguilla because I love Anguilla. That's like one of my favorite places to go. And I was over there. I was there over the summer, and I was, you know, once again, all my family with me. This was summer vacation, not holiday vacation. So I'm looking at all my family, and it just hit me what I wanted to write about, you know, because it's something that I've always dealt with. I'm announce it soon, but it's something that I've always dealt with, but I didn't really understand what it was until now. Mm-hmm. So it's just like I'm just working through it. Because a lot of times, you know, people talk about being fearless and they think we accomplish things because we're fearless. But actually, I feel like you accomplish things because you're scared. Mm. And what I mean by that is like my father would always tell me, if I don't change my lifestyle, I'm going to end up in jail, dead or broke, sitting under the tree. So that shit scared me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when you get scared, you get activated. You get motivated to go do something.
You turn your savage up.
So yeah, the book is basically talking about that.
If they did a Lifetime movie or a movie about you, who would you want to play Charlamagne?
Well, if they do a Lifetime movie about me, that means my life ain't lit enough. You know what I mean?
Well, you know,
and I love, and I love Lifetime.
A biopic, or if someone had to recreate your life, because I think you have a hell of a story. Who would you want to play you?
I don't know. That's crazy. I really don't know. I mean, I've never thought about it. I mean, I'm sure that's something I'm gonna have to think about soon, because people.
Because I think like they did the Howard Stern movie. They've done like all the greats have done movies, and I think you're a part of that realm. Like, I think people need to see.
That's what I want. I want to be mentioned with those. Because I'm a radio guy. I ain't shit else. I do radio. Everything else that comes with my life is fruit off that tree of radio. So it's just like when you say that to me, that shit makes me, that's what I want. I want them to, I want to be in the Radio Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I want to be in the National Broadcast Association Hall of Fame. I want to eventually be in all of that shit. So
what about the Hollywood Walk of Fame and get your name down there and...
I think Howard got one of those. I think Howard Stern got one of those, if I'm not mistaken.
I think I've seen Howard Stern's when I'm walking right.
I think that'll be lit.
What you gonna wear?
I'm gonna dress like a Haitian pastor. I'm gonna wear all black, black shirt, black hard bottoms.
And slide up to the motherfucking thing like that.
That's it. But I wouldn't know who I wanted to. I wouldn't know who I want to play me. I haven't thought about that, but I guess I need to, because I mean, we have got those. I've gotten those calls.
I think probably like a Michael B. Jordan.
Nah,
you don't think so? You don't like him?
Nah, he one of them sexy niggas. I ain't one of them niggas.
Every
homegirl I got, I want to eat his ass.
But I've seen the evolution. I've seen from beginning to now. I'm like, yo, you on some like when they took your picture with Morris Chestnut? Like you on some sexy
Morris
shit?
Morris Walnut. Like, but I got all my homegirls like Michael B. Jordan. They can't wait.
He the one. Like I'm just like, God. Yeah.
They be talking about him the way Harvey Weinstein probably used to talk about people. Like, I can't wait to rip that motherfucker. I'm serious. I'm serious, man.
I just hate the way Harvey Weinstein looks. It's just like he just look like he scratches right here. And yeah, girl. Like just that.
You saw him get slapped the other day.
Yes, but now that's the part where I'm just like, now if he would have did that to somebody, it would have been a lawsuit. That's where that what the dude was like, bop, 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 get the fuck out of here, man. Get out of here. I'm just like, wait a minute, do they even work there?
Well, Harvey's in that position where nobody feels sorry for him. Once you get to that position, you might as well move to another country. Get the fuck out.
Did you hear how much his wife getting in that divorce?
How much?
Allegedly, because he's worth $300 million. Because she stuck it out, pause. She's getting a nice chunk. She gets like the $15 million home and like all of this. Like, so they all, but they say his first wife got a lot of stuff. So I'm just like, I didn't even know he had wives. Like,
he ain't killed himself yet?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
What kind of white man are you? White man be done killing himself when they
been a junk. Yeah, he ain't lost not a nigga still eating good because he ain't lost not a pound.
No, yeah.
Like if that was him, if I was him, I would have went to Dominican, got some work done, pulled up and been a sex symbol. Like he should have came back Brad Pitt.
Yeah, everybody keep talking like, yo, Harvey will be back in 5 years. No, he won't.
It's over.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Like when it's those type of allegations, like it's those kind of things, it's a wrap. And what's crazy is I ain't never heard of him. I've always seen the company name and seen things like that. And they had pictures of him with, like, everybody used to hang around. Now it's just like, it's over for
you,
boy.
You're done.
There's no PR that can clean that shit up.
It's a wrap. It's over. It's over.
Where's that?
Hang it up.
Rizzy.
Flat screen. Is it, far as with your career, before it's said and done, what all do you want to accomplish? Are you still like, because you got everything. It's just like, you know, a lot of people, once they get to this point, be like, well, it's a wrap. It'd be the allegation, be that came out, be like, well, he ran a good run.
I definitely ain't got none of those. But
thank God, right? No, real rap, because no, people be digging and they'll try to find some shit. You'd be like, whew. I'll tell you this, I'm so glad for my upbringing, because people was just like, yo, you tell me, you really the truth, Mo. Like, I ain't never used to be hanging in no rappers' rooms. I used to take my ass home. Can't nobody say they got shit on me, even down to my drinks. My dad always told me, don't you never end up in no picture or nobody's.
That's real.
Always have the integrity and make sure you stand up and represent your last name. So as far as my family, now I love my husband to death, but I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, who, like, the, when, what the fuck? I just like, what type of issue? What's wrong with you? But that's an issue.
What are you doing?
Oh, he be doing some dumb shit. But it be old shit. But it become, now that we're a love of hip hop, this shit become, I'm just like, bitch, everybody know when you take a picture, you don't put your motherfucking face in it.
My kids know that.
My daughter wouldn't call me on FaceTime and had the shit showing at the ceiling. Bitch, let me see what you're doing. So I'm just like, yeah.
So now that you're on love of hip hop, everything comes out.
Yeah.
Okay,
like,
I got
all
you, got
of
you,
them.
Got
I'm
you.
Just like, but I'm just like, you don't, he was like, my husband, and one thing I love about him is his honesty. He was just like, yo, I used to be out there like at least 200 a year. I'm just like, how do you have some dick left?
Yeah, I mean, like, my wife knows a bunch of my dad. We've been together since 1998.
Oh,
so,
man.
So that's like my homie at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's girls that I fuck that I forget that she, my girl, I'm like, yo, you know how I fucked her, right? Like, oh, shit. Because then, you know how we talk, like, you know, you're talking to your homie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But, like, I've been got all that out of my system. Like, it just don't interest me no more. It's not fulfilling. You know what I mean? It's almost like when you change your diet and you start realizing, like, you know, when you
that
eat,
shit was bad,
when you, yeah, when you eat healthier, you feel better. You know what I'm saying? Like that's how I feel. Them nights in LA when you be in LA and you be drunk and you be high and you from the East Coast. So once 9 o'clock hit, you know, it's midnight over here. So those, the time, you just feel like that time don't even exist no more. What the fuck? I'm not even alive.
But I ain't no angel. There was some shit I did, but you'll never see a tape or a photo of it.
Nah, you'll never see
that. And so I'm so glad that, but that's the way I was raised. Just like, don't, I never wanted to do anything that broke my dad's heart. I'm a dad's girl. My parents have been together and married for over 40 years. So it's just like, I come from that classic family cloth. I come from, you can't break people. Like, bitch, I saw the panty eyes. Bitch, no, you didn't.
it's
the only thing that hurt me is like my kids. Right. That's the only thing that'll make me cry. That's why I'm just like, I try to keep it separate, but sometimes, you know, and I told my kids, I said, stop Googling shit. Like, how do you my kids always, Mom, look what they said. Look, somebody said it. I said, babe, like, you're never gonna meet that person in real life. How do you keep your kids separate from it? Because this is the internet age and era. So everything you say and do, people put it straight on the internet and your kids see it and it's just like, damn. Well,
my daughter's 9, my other daughter's 2. And for whatever reason, my daughter's not into that social media shit.
My son just turned 9 yesterday.
Really? He into social media?
Yeah.
My daughter ain't on that shit at all. I keep I keep it old school. You read
this
book. My 2-year-old,
he's on social media. Johnny, yes, Papa, eating sugar. Like, he loves all of that.
Yeah, my youngest daughter, she fucks with the YouTube. Like, she'll watch those videos on YouTube.
He learned his colors, everything. Yeah. He speaks Spanish. He speaks French. He learned it all off of YouTube.
And yeah, I don't know. It's just got to keep them off social media. I want them to go through life and like develop that thick skin. Like, the only reason that we're able to operate on social media because we was outside. You know what I'm saying? We grew up. We was clowning on each other. We would clown
we used to.
They don't have that thick skin that we had.
We came from. I think we all came from that where they joked on you, your mama era.
Yes.
But me and Missy used to clown people so much they used to want to fight us.
Yes.
So I used to have niggas want to fight me because I joked them out. I'd be like, but then. That's how me and Matt Skills got cool. I used to clown the shit out of him.
I grew up, we was clowning our families for getting evicted.
Yeah, be like, clowning. Oh, y'all ain't got nowhere to live.
Yeah, your daddy a crackhead son. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we was going in on each other about real shit. So when you get on social media, it's like, man, fuck
like people, be like, bitch, that's why you got those baby fathers. Bitch, I know, because I told y'all didn't even notice. But it's just like, I said, but they was my husbands, though. Yeah. I ain't got no bastards like all y'all mama kids. But you know what I'm saying? But a lot of people, bitch, why would you say that, Mo? Bitch, I didn't come to your page with this shit. You came to mine.
Yeah.
And if you come in my face and say it, I'm going to clap back.
Yeah, and I just don't think these kids have that thick skin, man.
They don't. No,
they don't.
They don't have
I'm raising my kids to have thick skin because you need it to survive in this world. Other than that, these are the most sensitive thugs in the world. Like,
I talk about my kids.
Because his son, done what your son did. He was like, my son got a problem, man.
He did. He got a lot of problems. But I talk about that. I talk about him first so they could already be used to it. So when I say something to him, they be like, come on, man. How do you know? You know what I mean? That's how you do it.
That's how I be feeling when I see these kids getting bullied, man. I'm like, yo, either learn how to fight or learn how to crack some jokes.
I was bullied. When I was growing up and my cousin, I was like, yo, grew up on Long Island, so my cousins from Roosevelt would come out to either Wine Dance or Central Lights, and when we pull up.
Right.
That's one thing, because I've always been the shortest. I have a really bad Napoleon complex, and I'm really...
Very little legs.
My ankles. I don't have no ankles, and that's my... So I'm wondering if I could get an ankle implant or something. That really is just like one of my downfalls.
Very cool.
But I could, you know what I mean? But I could still throw these things. Yeah, I could still throw these things.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you got to punch a motherfucker in their mouth.
That's all.
Don't kick them because they ain't going.
It ain't going nowhere.
But you can tell people who ain't never been punched in the face. That's why I respect people who have been punched in the face but still talk shit. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
I can tell. I can look online. I'd be like, yep, he ain't never been punched in the face. Or, yep, she ain't never been punched in the face. Because if they were, they would move just a tad bit.
Yeah, you do. See, I never been punched in the face, but I've been busted upside my shit. So, like, I've been assaulted before.
Okay.
For your mouth?
No, somebody just ran up. But like,
all my fights was because of my mouth.
Mine too.
They say something else. And you said
something else.
Yes.
That's me. I'm the button pusher. But I really don't mean no harm. But I tell people, if you don't do dumb shit, I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Where can people follow you at on social media? Because I love how interactive you are. Like, I just love your whole spirit. So, like, I've even had to delete some comments because sometimes people say something, I'll be like, bitch, who the fuck? And then I had to delete. Because I'd be really ready. Like, don't talk to them like that. Like, that's my people's. Like, I hate when people try to disrespect. I'm like, yo, if you don't know them, then don't come at, like, it's not the same. This social media, my nigga, don't do that. He has a family to feed, and he takes great care of his family, and he takes great care of himself. And honestly, I love the way you call people out, because honestly, if you knew better, you do better. And a lot of people, they didn't have that good. They didn't have that parent growing up and telling them, like, the fuck is you doing? Like, why are you out here drawing? And you want, a lot of people want attention, and they're getting the wrong kind.
Absolutely.
So, the fact that you break people the fuck down, like, that shit always been A1 to me.
Word.
So where can they follow you on social media and see you? Aren't you going on tour with T Grizzly? No, that's Jeezy. My bad.
At C to God, CTHAGOD. That's me on Twitter. That's me on Instagram. I deleted my Snapchat and.
Yeah,
I don't be on Twitter like that either, though. I deleted that off my phone. Then I got on my phone.
I take my Instagram and I loaded to, it loads to my
Facebook
Twitter.
Facebook and Twitter, mine does that too.
But I don't think, do you think grown men should have Snapchat?
Nah, I can't, listen man, I can't do this
I think
this
that's
all day.
For kids.
I can't do this all day. Like, it ain't that serious.
I don't like it either. I do Instagram is simple. You post it up.
You post a picture. You know what I mean? I genuinely enjoy photos.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't even like when I'm going through my Instagram feed and I keep getting all these videos. I'm like, man, I don't care. Right. Like, I like pictures. I'm a picture person. Even when I'm at home, I like looking at old photos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I can't do that Snapchat shit. I can't even do that Instagram that's like Snapchat.
But that thing, I hate that shit when you look at it 1 second. I don't want people DMing me and then I look at it, then they know I looked at it, then I gotta delete them.
Yeah.
That's too spooky to me.
And then there's no context with the videos. Like, I was just shooting a commercial, and on the set of the commercial, they had a Lamborghini truck. Now, I would never buy one of them shit. I don't even think this, it's not even out yet, matter of fact. I'm like, oh, this is dope. So I put it on my Instagram, just like the video.
Yeah.
And I posted it, motherfuckers like, by the time you start spending some money, like, yo, I remember when you, one home girl hit me like, y'all remember we used to ride around in the 04 Escalade with no heat. Now, I'm like, whoa, I ain't buy this shit. Like, this ain't mine. I'm on the fucking set of a commercial. Like, what are y'all talking about?
Right.
That is dope, though.
But it's no context to it. So that's another reason I don't like it. Like, and I don't got time to do 100 videos explaining, yo, I'm on a set of it. Like, fuck all that stupid shit.
It ain't mine. It ain't mine.
Yeah, it look nice, though.
But a lot of people, they do be spending their money, and I'm just like, if you, what they say, if you can't buy it twice or three times, don't buy it. Like, if you could, once you buy it, you have to be able to buy it and at least be able to take care of your bills for, so I'm like, yeah.
I've been fired 7 times in my life total, damn. 4 times from radio. In 2010, when I got fired from, well, 2 times, 2009 when I got fired from, 2008 when I got fired from Wendy Williams.
Uh-huh.
I was a stay-at-home dad because I was too proud to go down to New York unemployment and collect my unemployment check.
You can call it in now because I called that motherfucker when I got fired. I was like, yeah, I ain't going in shit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But at the time, you had to go in, and I was like, I just came from doing Wendy's show. I got too much pride.
Right,
so my wife used to have to go to work. And like when we started getting them eviction notices, my wife had to go down to the courthouse and like stand there and explain why we ain't been paying our rent. And then when I got fired from doing the morning show in Philly, and I'm like 30, 31 years old, and I gotta go live back in South Carolina with my mom.
Yeah,
and my 1-year-old daughter at the time, my soon to be wife. Like, that shit ain't no good feeling. So I'm not spending no $350,000 on no motherfucking car. Fuck that. I'm always
give me
putting
that
away
shit and I'll post that shit on the gram.
Man, fuck that.
Yeah.
And nobody, by the way, nobody know.
Right.
I get the same feeling posting that shit on the gram and it's not mine and motherfuckers hitting me like, I don't want y'all to think this is my shit anyway, so they think it's my shit regardless, but I'm not $350,000 on a fucking car.
Like, how do you write
fuck
the check for it? And then do it come with its own insurance? Like, for all of that, like, what do I get? I be wanting to know.
Never. You know what? This t-shirt I got on is from Target.
I love Target.
All right, I love
Tarjay.
I go to Target.
I love how frugal you are because a lot of people they gloat, they boast, and they show off, and nobody cares because they'll get the shit robbed out of them.
I've been broke before. You know what I'm saying? I had to collect them unemployment checks. Like, no, I'm to put my money away. I like my money to grow moss. Fuck that.
I feel you.
Because when these white people get tired of me and they kick me out this fucking radio station again, I'm gonna be cool and be like, all right, well, you know, must be time for me to retire.
As you should. We need more people like you to tell us to the youth, man, because a lot of people spending money that they don't even have. You know
real rap.
It's cool to save money.
They'll realize when they 30 and broke. When Biggie Smalls said being broke at 30 give a nigga the chills. Yeah. So all of these dudes I see 20-some years old, young, balling out of control. Yeah. Like,
flying private jets. Yeah. You know, when I used to fly private, we used to fly on Leo Cohen's private jet. So I was like, in 99, in 2000, I was just like, woo, we living. But I said, how much do it cost to rent the... Man, get the fuck out of it. But now they got it. You can charter a leg of it for almost what it costs to fly on a regular airline nowadays. But I'm just like, I'm not paying for
fuck
this shit.
Fuck that. I got homeboys that do that shit too.
Yeah.
Fuck that. 10 grand to fly to Cali on a PJ. It's convenient, man. Man, if you don't shut the fuck up.
And they don't even give you a whole bunch of food.
JetBlue is great.
Yeah.
I'm a Mosaic member on JetBlue.
Right. I like, you know, Virgin, I mean? Atlanta, whatever it is with the red joint.
Virgin popping. Virgin that like joint. Soul Plane.
Yeah. Yes, that's what we call it.
Virgin
Soul
is
Plane.
Like Soul Plane. But I got all my miles on JetBlue. And I be in that mint and I'm cool. They got TVs, yeah. You know what I'm saying? They got the new mint section where you can lay it out like a bed.
That
I'm good.
Lit. JetBlue been the one, but a lot of people, it don't fly everywhere. Yeah, but now I think they've expanded. They're rising. So maybe they'll cut us a check.
That should fly nice everywhere I go.
Shout out.
I be in LA. I should go to LA. I like to go to the Caribbean and go to the Caribbean. I'm from South Carolina and fly right into Charleston. I'm cool.
Oh, so you all right?
I'm good.
You good to go. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Skeet, Lil Mo.
Yes, sir.
Really appreciate y'all. You. Like, this is one of my favorites. Man. So, yeah, with that being said, thank you for joining us on the Lil Mo Show. Had it not been for you, there would be no us.
Yeah.
We were repping.
Yeah,
I couldn't wear these clothes because I ain't wear nothing twice since we've been at this motherfucker. Thank you to Next Level Publishing, to OG Podcast Network, and to my family, because if I don't do this and if I don't work, they don't eat, and my kids eat all day. Like, you should have saw my grocery list. I went into the grocery store, the market, to get one thing and left out spending like $387 worth of snacks.
Damn.
Yeah, so I'm this close to selling pussy. Anyway, Skeet.
This your boy Skeet Carter, man. Thank y'all for tuning in. I wore these jeans just the second time. I wore these, you know.
Oh, since, really?
Yeah, I wore my stuff, you know, something twice. And we get food stamps, so my
he ain't lying.
So we get a lot of snacks, but you know, it's from government assistance. Yep. Since you ain't paid me yet. Yep. So what we're gonna do is hey, look, man, thank y'all for tuning in, man. It's a dope show, and we, like we said, we have dope guests, amazing guests, man. Thank y'all for tuning in. We definitely gonna catch y'all next time. Stay tuned.
It's a Lil Mo Show.
Boom.